from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
I'm a true champion.
Go blue is the mantra.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Michigan, the men's basketball champion.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Michigan head coach Dusty May. Coming up, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. UCLA head coach Corey Close. Actor Emmanuel Shrieky. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. This hour, we're going to have Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday, and more than enough time to take your phone calls before Corey Close, the champion head coach of UCLA basketball on the women's side, will be joining us. The actress Emmanuel Shrieky. We also just said goodbye to Dusty May on a nice Zoom that we had a chat with here on this program moments ago after cutting down the nets in Indianapolis last night. Joining us now, fresh back, I imagine, from the national championship game in the Final Four is none other than Jay Billis in his usual spot here on the show Tuesday after the national championship game. Good to see you, Jay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. Well, I'm not doing as well as you, but I'm doing great.
No, I appreciate that because you know obviously where my allegiances lie. I'll just give you the floor on your impressions of the national championship game. Your takeaway is what from that?
You know, I thought it was great. It wasn't the prettiest basketball game I've ever seen. There were a lot of missed shots, and it was really physical. And I'm not sure in these football arenas whether we should expect teams to shoot it better. I mean, both Michigan and UConn shot it better in the semis than they did in the final, but it was compelling. And as well as Michigan played defensively, and as hard as they played, it always felt to me like they kind of were going to win until the last few minutes, and UConn kept hanging around. And when Terrace Reed made that steal, in between the top of the key and midcourt and was taking it the other way. It was a 6-point game that would have cut it to 4. And I felt put some real game pressure on Michigan, and the ball kind of got ahead of him a little bit. He pushed it out a little bit too far and then threw it back to solo ball. And it was really well contested by Trey McKinney, I think it was. And, you know, both those guys hit the deck, and then Michigan takes it the other way. And there was a penetration from Roddy Gale Jr. And then Trey McKinney hit a 3 to put it to 9 again. And that was kind of the game. And it was one of those deals where it came down to the end, at least in the last couple of minutes. And it was really compelling. And all those games, every title game has something unique to it. And just these guys didn't shoot it well. That was the only thing. If shots had been going, it would have been really fun to watch. But it was a really enjoyable game.
Yeah, Danny Hurley's conversation with Tracy Wolfson during a timeout, and the one time that that they had Danny Hurley for that conversation, he was really honest. He's like, I think we're playing the style of game, the type of game that we have a chance to win. The only chance to win is what he said, the style of game. And he's right. UConn dictated the tempo on the eventual national champs on Monday night, Jay. They did.
Well, they did, but both teams really took each other out of transition. There weren't a lot of open court plays, and Michigan's defense was what impressed me the most. I kind of knew Like Michigan's got another gear that most teams don't have. And, you know, you saw it throughout the year. They blew out a lot of good teams. And there might have been games, or there were games, but you might have seen them where, you know, they were letting a team, you know, you might say we're letting a team hang around. And then they just stepped on the gas and blew them out. I remember that game against Northwestern where it looked like, hey, Northwestern's got a shot here. And then the midway through the second half, Michigan just went on a 20-something to nothing run and the game was over. But UConn runs such good offense, and it certainly didn't look like it against Michigan. Michigan was switching different things, took away a lot of their cutting, extended their catches further out on the floor, made them take a lot longer. UConn couldn't run any clean offense against Michigan, and that was really impressive. You know, their rim protection, you know, their size was one thing, but even guys like Roddy Gale Jr., he blocked two shots. At the end of the game, I was looking at the stat sheet, and I was going, you know, they blocked six shots at six steals. I was going, it seemed like they blocked like 12 shots.
Yeah.
They were really good defensively. But, it wasn't the tempo. If it were an up-and-down game and the game were in the 80s, I would have been surprised if UConn could have won that game. But they certainly, in a game in the 60s, and as poorly as they shot it, UConn still could have won that game. And, you know, mention the Terrace Reed Steele thing in the three. But even, you know, Alex Carabat had a shot. They were down four, had a shot to cut it to one. Like, you know, just I kind of couldn't believe with the feel of the game that UConn had a shot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. What do you make of the last 4 years of UConn? One of the better runs we've seen in quite some time. Right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? Like, you know, if you went back to the mid-90s, I thought one of the great sort of periods in college basketball for a single team was what Kentucky did, 96, 97, 98. I mean, they were an overtime period away from a three-peat, went to three straight title games, two with Rick Pitino and one with Tubby Smith. You know, they kind of bookended two championships. That 96 team was historically good. And I think Dan Hurley could talk about his 23 and 24 teams as being historically good. In fact, they were. I mean, those 2 years, they won every tournament game. So that's 12 tournament games in a row. They won by double digits, which has never happened before. I mean, John Wooden's teams didn't even do that at UCLA. But to have a guy like Alex Carabat, who if they had beaten Michigan last night, he would have won three championships. And he would have been the only non-UCLA player in history to have three championships. Is kind of amazing. And so what Danny's done at UConn, and especially like people like to say in today's game, like somehow it's harder now, but it's really, really amazing what he's accomplished there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you heard this stat, you might have, but I'll repeat it here since we're talking about Carabat. He became the fifth player to start three national championship games in 4 years. The others are Ewing, Grant Hill, Christian Laettner, and Danny's brother Bobby. I mean, that's a heck of a cast right there. That's a five right there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's been a long time since that's happened.
Right.
And one, he stayed at one place. So, you know, I really kind of enjoyed the contrast a little bit, because you hear a lot of narratives and people have their mindsets about the way things should be in sports, and especially in college sports. So on one hand, you have Alex Carabat and people say, oh, look, stayed in one place and look at all the relationships and all that. And then you look across the way at Michigan and they started five transfers. And the stories there were frankly amazing. Like Adai Mara barely played at UCLA. Before he transferred to Michigan, and he's a lottery pick player now. And Yaxel Lindeborg was one of the best players in the country that nobody knew about. You know, outside of the basketball nerds like me, very few, you know, fans knew how good he was. And Elliot Cadeau, when he was playing, he played 2 years at North Carolina. And I think North Carolina fans would admit this, that they criticized the hell out of him. You know, he went unguarded in games because he had difficulty shooting from the perimeter. So the opposing point guard would just camp out at the free throw line. They wouldn't even guard him and just dare him to shoot. And then he's most outstanding player in the Final Four and had a 19-point game. And yeah, he made over 70 threes this year and just had an extraordinary, not only tournament, but an extraordinary year. So those guys were a really close team. And you could see cared about each other, didn't care who got the credit, you know, all the things that people, the cliches people like to use about great teams in sports. And they haven't been together for all that long. So you can do it different ways in college sports. And it was really kind of cool to see the contrast.
Well, in terms of that, Jay Billis, I mean, again, you just pointed out that the transfers that came to Michigan weren't, with the exception of Yaxel Lendeborg, another team's best all-star, terrific Naismith-type player. You know, it was other teams' talented guys that together as a collective could be as dominant as Michigan turned out to be. And then you've got a bunch of guys that did stay for Michigan that weren't playing as much. And that's why I want to turn to Dusty May here, because somebody had to stitch this all together. Somebody had to come up with a vision and along with the staff to make it all work. Where do you think Dusty now ranks in terms of college coaches, Jay?
Well, even before this game, he's up with the best coaches in the game and the best young coaches in the game. You know his story. He was a manager for Bob Knight, grew up in Indiana, manager for Bob Knight at IU. And, you know, he was wandering around the Final Four 20 years ago trying to get a job. And now, you know, North Carolina was reported, was courting him. And he's one of the hottest names in the game, and rightfully so. And when he was at Florida Atlantic, you know, he's riding his bike to work every day. And, you know, people probably thought he was an assistant librarian, and he's the head basketball coach. And they go to the Final Four. And one of the cool things about that was I'm sure a lot of coaches in that situation have taken a team like Florida Atlantic to the Final Four would have capitalized on the opportunity to go somewhere else right away. He stayed another year at Florida Atlantic before taking the Michigan job. And one of the really cool things about that Florida Atlantic team is all the players stayed another year. Guys like Vlad Golden and Elijah Martin, all them, they didn't transfer until Dusty left. And that's, I think that says something, maybe it says something about the players, but I think it says something about Dusty as well and the relationship he has with those guys. And, you know, I think he and Coach Close that you got coming on later, the champion coach of UCLA women. I think they're showing that, you know, you can hold people accountable and you can have high standards and, you can strive to win and not be, you know, this demeaning coach. And sometimes when I hear hard coaching, because there are a lot of old school people out there saying, hey, you know, it's okay to yell at your play. Like, nobody's arguing. Do whatever you want. Like, whatever you think is the right thing to do. But there are different ways to do it. And I think Dusty does it in a really, really admirable way, as does Coach Close at UCLA.
A couple of things I want to hit you on before I let you go on your Tuesday, Jay Billis. Last night, as soon as the game was over and Danny Hurley's meeting with the media, I don't know if you saw the soundbite, but he asks if it's after midnight and somebody says it's 12:01. He goes, the portal's open. Is anybody in it yet? And I just had Dusty May on the program. And he said as soon as he got back to the locker room after winning and cutting down the nets, he said he looked and there were some of his staff already scrolling through the portal. I mean, is this the way to run an operation? I mean, right after this game, you know, like right after a tournament, I mean, can we get a week or two or what's going on? I'll give you the floor.
Well, first of all, that's what the coaches wanted. They wanted it after the title game. Because the portal in the past, which is an NCAA creation, you know, the portal wasn't thrust upon the NCAA by some court or some law. The NCAA created it. That's their creation. They wanted it. But it used to open a couple of weeks ago. And the theory was, look, there are still teams playing, but the overwhelming majority of teams out there aren't playing. And the players deserve to have some time to process this and get where they want to be, too, because they have to have their decisions made so that they can go somewhere else for next year. And you know, these aren't snap decisions that everybody's making. So would it be better if there were more time? Yeah, but the calendar is compressed in a lot of these areas, so there's no perfect solution to this. But to your question of, is this any way to run a business? No, it's not. But again, this is the way the NCAA wants it, because the smart thing to do would be for the NCAA to take away all rules that prohibit schools from paying athletes directly and signing them to contracts like they do their coaches. But they don't want them to be employees. That's why they're on Capitol Hill begging Congress for an antitrust exemption so they can unilaterally impose work conditions on players. So it's almost like they can't have it both ways. And I understand the coaches, but I think the world's tiniest violin is going to be played for, Dusty and Danny, with people going, hey, I'm sorry that you're going to have to take a few extra days to, sort out the portal, and you're not going to be able to spend your $8 million a year on vacation as soon as the rest of us can. But I think everybody will get over it. I always think of the Godfather line of, this is the business we've chosen. Mm-hmm. And this is part of it. And the NCAA has gotten away with their cartel restrictions on players for 5 decades now, actually for 100 years. But when there's been a multi-billion-dollar entertainment industry being run without paying the players, they've had 5 decades now, and they should have figured it out before now. I still think they'll figure it out in the future. But they're spending a lot of time on Capitol Hill on bended knee asking Congress to please give them what they used to have, which I don't think they're going to get.
See, this is why you and I, we see eye to eye. We're, this is why we're buds, we're pals, because this is a drop that we have on the show all the time.
This is the business we've chosen.
There you go. See, I've got Hyman Roth ready for you anytime you need that, Jay.
Well, what you need to do, Rich, is you need to, I flew back this morning from Indianapolis, and one of the officials was in the TSA line with me.
Okay.
And I felt bad for the officials last night. What? Because they were at a conundrum. Like, they were thinking, who do we screw? Like, we want to screw Michigan because of Rich Eisen.
No, they don't. No, they
and
don't.
Then we'd kind of like to screw UConn, because Danny yells at us. So They were in a really bad spot. I felt bad for them.
It would have been easier for them if Duke was in the game, because then they know exactly who to screw.
Yes.
Know
what I mean?
They know it's much more clear cut, much more clear cut.
Yeah. You and Wojo started all this.
Okay, we're slapping the floor.
Got a major issue.
What'd you make of Michael Malone's hiring in North Carolina, Jay?
I thought it was great. Like, I didn't really think that a change was necessary at North Carolina.
Right.
You win 70% of your games and number one seed and all this stuff, but that's their business. I get it. I understand the way the world works. But Michael Malone's a terrific coach. I just thought, I just chuckled a little bit. We had the media telling us all these names, and his name never came up.
Right.
And then he gets the job, which shows how much we know. And kudos to North Carolina for doing their business privately. But, Michael coached in college. He was he started at Oakland with Greg Campy, who's still there and a great coach. And then he was with Pete Gillen at Providence and went with Bobby Gonzalez for a while in Manhattan before he went to the NBA. And I think his NBA experience will be great at North Carolina and great in college. And maybe even some of the international connections that he has can prove fruitful for Carolina. I think it'll be fantastic. I'm really happy for Michael and happy for Carolina.
Last one for you, Jay Billis. It is Masters Week, and I follow at Jay Billis. And I saw the menu that you posted, that if you were the Masters champion, this would be your club dinner menu. I'll give you the floor. You want to walk us through it and why you chose each course, Jay?
Yeah, I chose stuff that I like. Because in the dream scenario of winning anything in golf, I'm going to eat what I want. So, and the miso cod was just a nod to people who don't eat meat, which they wouldn't be invited anyway. I just can't understand that. Some of my friends were doing it, and I thought it'd be kind of funny. So I did that.
No, Caesar, I don't think. So then let me ask you, let me go through it as well. If you don't mind, Caesar, are we taking the anchovies off, or are you an anchovies on guy?
I'm anchovies on.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Not everyone's an anchovies on guy. I mean, and then there's
garlic.
A taste of the anchovies.
I want garlic on the bowl first, too. They're going to be putting garlic on the bowl first.
Jeez. Heavy Caesar, light Caesar. What are you? What do we got?
I'm a medium Caesar.
Large crouton, small crouton. These are very crucial questions, Jay. This is the Masters, for crying out loud.
Yeah, croutons I'm not as concerned about. I think small or large can work. Okay. Stale bread is what difference it make how big it is.
Understood. Tomahawk ribeye. You're just going for the whole big. And attaboy, I mean, you pay for the menu. Done. You're right. Are you aware of that? They make at Augusta, they make the player pay for it. That's expensive.
They seem pretty happy to do it, and I think I would be too. Yeah, okay. But I went tomahawk because I want the option to pick it up with my hands.
Attaboy.
I was from the Flintstones generation, mm-hmm. and a nice brontosaurus steak is in my mind all the time.
So it would tip over your golf cart like Fred Flintstone's car.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then chocolate brownie with vanilla bean ice cream. So it's not just any vanilla ice cream. You need the beans in it. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And I would pay the staff extra to make it.
Mm-hmm. That's because you're Jay Billis, man. It's because you're Jay. Well done,
sir. I look great in green.
Jay, thank you for your time. By the way, this is a tradition unlike any other, you being on the show after every national championship game. I think this is like 5 years in a row, and I really appreciate it. I truly do.
No, it's my pleasure. It's an honor for me to do it. Well,
I appreciate you saying that. Are you calling any of these NBA playoff games? We're going to hear your voice. And what's your next few weeks like for you, Jay? What do we got?
I hope so. I haven't heard anything. I've been kind of immersed in stuff the last month, so nobody's been beating my door down. But hope so. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. I hope you get to do that, and I hope I hear your voice, and we'll have you back on throughout all that and get ready for the NBA draft in June. Thanks, Jay.
Best thing about doing NBA games, the hotels are way better.
Ah, than college? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're not staying in a Hampton Inn in Lawrence, Kansas or, you know, in Bloomington, Indiana. Okay. It's a little better.
All right. Yeah. There are no anchovies on the Caesars there. I understand what you're saying. Jay, thanks again, bud. You be well.
Thank you.
You're the best. That's Jay Billis, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's beat it on down the line. Get to a commercial break, come back, phone calls, and overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast. In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is... just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Rich Eisen here. I've traveled all over for some of the biggest NFL moments you can imagine. Conference championships, Super Bowls, draft weekends, and everywhere I go, the city just feels different. It's buzzing, packed, electric. Now, take that energy and multiply it by the entire world. That's what's coming this summer with the FIFA World Cup. Fans from every corner of the globe are going to be traveling to experience it live. And when that many people come to town, they're all looking for a place to stay. And that got me thinking. If you live in or near a host city, this is one of those rare moments. You already have a space. This summer, you could list your space on Airbnb while fans are in town for the FIFA World Cup. Not as a full-time thing. Not as some huge lifestyle change. Just during an event when demand is naturally high. When I travel for big games, I just want a comfortable place in a real neighborhood. And that's exactly what so many visiting fans will be looking for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Stravon in Washington, D.C. has been hanging on since we came on the air. It's been a while since we've heard from him. What's going on, sir?
Good morning. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hi, buddy.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
First of all, hail to the victors, Rich.
Thank you, sir.
Feels pretty good. But, you know, last night's championship game, it has a little bit more significance, at least for me, because I'm about to graduate from Michigan in December.
Oh, cool.
So I'll have the pleasure of having seen a football and basketball championship as a graduate student at Michigan.
It's you, then. It's you. There's no I in Stravon. You're a team player. Well done.
Yep. But also, with the case of Dan Hurley, I remember when he was back at Rhode Island, you know, coaching those Rams. And I, at the time, I was an undergraduate student working for WVCW Radio, home of the VCU Sports Rams.
Okay.
And I watched Dan Hurley beat up on us for so long. It was miserable. And so to finally get that last night, I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all of our generation right now.
He certainly is that. Yes, sir.
Victory, it just felt so satisfying.
Dude, listen, and I appreciate what you're saying, Stravon, because, you know, watching him last night scared me down to my socks, man. I'm not going to lie to you. And thanks for the call. You know, I knew last night was going to be a tough one for me. And there were moments last night I thought this is not going to happen tonight after this entire journey. He can coach. He can get on the refs. I think he's more under control now than he was like 2-3 years ago, don't you think?
Ooh, interesting.
Wouldn't you say?
I mean, he did.
Like, he's not on the court pushing his players.
He did basically, you know, headbutt an official last week over the weekend.
I know that, you know, so. like playfully, right?
I guess.
He doesn't bother me at all. No, he scares me.
He has a magic power, Rich. You know, good teams win. Congrats on cutting the nets down.
Right.
Great teams cover. And that's all UConn does in the tournament is cover.
And they covered, what was it last night?
Seven and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey.
Definitely not been mentioned on his Hall of Fame.
It should be.
So.
That's like three straight years of covering nearly every game.
Did you bet against Michigan last night?
No.
So it happened?
No.
Okay. You can. I mean, it's your money.
I bet on a close game.
Okay. Understood.
Which it was.
But how is that good for the coach? Like, some random person in the desert sets this random...
Great teams cover is what gamblers
point.
Say.
It's a gambling line.
It's a gambling line.
Yeah, but it's just like...
Line. He's a great coach.
Yes.
And, you know, that kid Caravan I told you about, and Braylon Mullins, does he have a shot or what? Jeez. He's good, and they're great. Again, Michigan actually going in last night as the favorites.
Big favorites, yeah.
Was a weird sensation. That did not happen in 89 or any of those other times I mentioned about Beilein in the between. Were they favorites? The Fab Five wasn't favorited against Duke or probably North Carolina, right?
I don't know.
North Carolina, they were a low seed.
Let me see if I can find that.
Didn't Chris Webber, by the way, Chris's schedule will be on tomorrow's program. Didn't C. Webb say they were disrespected by their seed against North Carolina? Didn't you mention that the other day?
They weren't a one or a two. Right?
I don't. They certainly weren't favorited five freshmen against that Duke team. That's for sure.
No.
Well, no. They were. I mean,
but the next year against North Carolina, they made it back. They were a lesser seed.
North Carolina was a 2-point favorite.
All right,
from what I'm seeing. No, they were both one seeds.
Okay, Jason in Atlanta here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Rich, first time caller to your show.
Okay.
And I wanted to share with you, I have a daughter who is currently a sophomore at the University of Michigan.
Oh, congrats.
And so Saturday, she and three of her friends made the drive, I think it was only 4.5 hours, over to Indianapolis from Ann Arbor. And they went to the Arizona game and then made sure to get themselves back to Ann Arbor, you know, by Monday for class and then to get in line to watch at a bar the game last night. And so just all the videos and the photos she's been sending since Saturday, it's just been a beautiful thing. And she's been creating memories for herself that one day she'll be able to describe as vividly as you have yours from the top of the show. And I just wanted to pass on my congrats to you and all the Michigan fans.
That's the way to do it. Does she have a headache this morning? Have we checked in with your daughter? Have we checked
in? No,
we
haven't heard from her since last night at probably about 12:30. So
Hopefully
maybe call
she'll,
number two. I'll let you know.
She's, let us know how she slept it off, okay? Call us
Will
back.
Do.
All right, there's Jason in Atlanta.
Yeah, against Duke, Duke was a 6-point favorite.
There you go. I think
92.
Yeah, he when he came on, he said that he felt disrespected by one of the seeds of their national championship game appearances.
Well, they were a 6 seed that year.
And disrespect is real.
That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, they're in 92.
Oh yeah,
but they were just 5 freshmen. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God.
And they got spanked.
Well, I mean, that Duke team. It's
loaded.
As great as it comes,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but Duke wasn't supposed to win that year. That was supposed to be Vegas.
How did that happen? Leitner, Hurley, and Hill were on the teams. Coach K was coaching them. I know, but that UNLV team, right?
Beat them by 30 the year before.
Grandmama.
Yeah.
Stacey Augmon.
Greg
Anthony.
You know, Plastic Man.
They were a wagon.
Tark sucking on his towel like a weirdo.
Anderson Hunt.
They were a good team.
They were a great team.
Great team.
They were a great team.
Randomly, my Foot Locker manager was a guy named Dante Harlan. He was on that UNLV team, guys, and he transferred that year because he was stuck behind Greg Anthony and Anderson Hunt.
By the way, good move.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Well, he transferred to New Mexico State, but that year he transferred UNLV. That was 90. They won.
How was he as a boss?
He was awesome.
He was.
Yeah, he was okay. Dante. He's even now. He's a really successful girls basketball coach. In Ohio. He's pretty much dedicated his life to
I love
to
that. I love hearing that.
Girls basketball.
When we go to the draft in Pittsburgh, can we make a pilgrimage to does your Foot Locker still exist?
The Foot Locker does not exist.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's there, but it's no longer Foot Locker.
What do we got? Because, again, where I used to do my stand-up comedy at the U Club, the University of Michigan's Student Union Club, is now a Panera Bread.
Nice. Yeah.
So, like, if I ever wanted to see the layout of the place and maybe the manager's office is where we always used to hang out and I used to maybe dry heave before going on stage, like the backstage little green room area, that might be, like, where they keep the bread now.
Let's hope they don't dry heave now.
We'll be downtown, so that's where my college is downtown. Our set will probably be maybe 8 blocks away.
You know where our set is? Because I don't.
Yeah, James gave me the street.
So. Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I guess I should read the emails. Just know it's taken care of.
Yeah, well,
I'll just show up. If the microphones work, I'll be there.
You have the show's resident adult.
That? I know.
I
don't know the city
it.
All that well. I've been there only for 1-2 days at a time. This is going to be the longest I've spent in Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
In a stretch. Can't wait for it. Yeah, there's some news on that front, which we'll get to. In short order. Let's take a break. We'll come back and then we'll do Overreaction
Let's
Monday.
Let's do it
on a Tuesday. 844-204 Rich number to dial. Corey Close is our next guest. Top of hour 3, talking about UCLA's championship.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
You're sitting at a red light or stuck in traffic, and your phone lights up. Maybe it's a text, a video call, a new post, or a quick notification you think you can check in a second. It feels harmless, but the truth is, once your eyes leave the road, you're not really driving anymore. and traffic doesn't pause just because you do. That split second of distraction can throw off everything. Your reaction time, your awareness, your ability to avoid someone else's mistake. You could damage your car, injure yourself, or hurt someone you care about. Or you could get pulled over for a reminder that your phone isn't worth the risk. So before you start driving, make it easy on yourself. Put your phone on silent. Toss it in the glove box. Set it to do not disturb. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Season's here. Everybody's talking about franchise players, blockbuster trades, and the moves that can reshape a team. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors is the kind of pick you can trust, especially after another long winter with your old windows. Discover why Pella Windows and Doors is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. Just getting ready for another Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. So let's get to it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
You know, it's been a long time since I stepped on that last line. You know, I'm just talking about how I've grown as a broadcaster.
That's why you're Emmy nominated.
No, listen.
You know what I mean? True.
Listen,
they don't just hand those out.
No, they don't just hand out those nominations. Not at all.
I mean, we didn't
nothing
we,
like
we it. We can't get one, but
that's
you
okay.
Got one.
That's it. I'll just take that bullet of sitting in row T for 4.5 hours, only to take an Ernie Johnson axe to the chest with no food or drink provided, no internet.
You
what else?
You should post
think
that.
About how
what
much,
else?
Think how much cheaper your restaurant bill will be after this.
Unless thing. I'm overreacting.
Excellent.
Get that plastic flask.
What do you got?
All right. So a couple of football topics and then a hodgepodge.
I forgot
here.
About that caper flask? We pulled.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So right. Here, right. Good.
Jeremiah Love, thinking a lot about him and his draft position and the conversation surrounding him. You know, he's visiting the Bengals today.
Bengals.
If he does fall to the Bengals at number 10, they're going to have the best offense in the NFL this year.
I think this is just due diligence. Dude, Chase Brown's not slouch by any stretch of the imagination.
Jeremiah
I understand
that.
I get it. I get it. I get it. If he drops to 10, you have to take him there.
Have to.
So
without question.
I got it.
Jeremiah Love, Chase Brown, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow.
So my question for you is, does that mean they now win 35-34 as opposed to losing to 34-31? Is that what you're saying now?
They might have to score 40.
They're 40.
Yeah, you know, if they
I think, how about this? Hot take. Their defense is going to be better this year.
Than what?
Last year.
Can't be worse.
Yes, it can. Always can.
I mean, the floor is...
The floor is...
The floor is beneath the floor.
The floor is lava.
Yeah, yeah. The floor is lava.
Ceiling is
true.
The floor.
You guys even got that reference.
Yep. Jeff Bailey has kids now.
Okay, that's it. The floor is lava. My kids are older now. Have your kids actually played The Floor is Lava in your house?
We do it. Oh yeah,
where you act like your floor is actually lava, and all of a sudden they're jumping from
it's like chair
to couch
in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh huh.
And your heart is in your throat every 2 seconds that they're gonna. All right.
Fall and break their face.
But like that's we were playing that when we were kids, though.
Oh, Floor is Lava?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when we only had 3 channels.
Right.
What else you got, Chris?
No clicker back then.
You were the clicker.
All right, we digress.
Okay.
Where's the clicker?
Thinking about who is going to be the next Drake May. What do I mean by that? I mean a guy, a quarterback.
To make you happy?
No, to lose out on MVP because someone doesn't know what they're doing.
This guy.
When it comes to voting. Who's going to make that leap, that second-year quarterback to jump up and get in that conversation? I'm saying either Cam Ward or Jackson Dart, top 5 MVP.
No, okay.
Nobody saw Drake May coming.
You know, I hesitate to do this because it's you never know league, and I don't ever want to say somebody can't or won't, but I'll just call this an overreaction for the moment. I just will. So, top 5 MVP is a tall order. So, I appreciate what you're saying.
Never know.
I'll just call it an overreaction for the moment and beg their pardons if I am wrong. And for their sake, I hope I'm wrong. But I'll call that an overreaction.
Let's talk Arizona quarterbacks, one current, one former. I like Jake Brisket, man. Tell you what, man. He's got more touchdowns and yards than Kyler Murray this year.
Ha! Okay. I like the cut of your jib, sir. I like the cut of your jib.
What that we saw from Jacoby Brissett last year?
You know,
says that he can't sling it.
Nothing. Do you know what was missing from Jacoby Brissett last year? Wins.
Well, missing from Kyler Murray too.
Wins. Well, Kyler Murray is just missing. Have we ever seen in the history of the National Football League somebody take a direct snap off their helmet and then leave for the rest of the season with a foot injury from that moment? Is there anything weirder than Kyler Murray's last 2 years in Arizona?
Maybe his pre-draft meetup?
But he's going to a spot where he's going to start and have Justin Jefferson. So,
I don't know. Is Justin Jefferson Michael Wilson? Because he looked like Randy Moss last year.
I'll call this an overreaction.
TJ, you know.
I know. I get it.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
I'll call this an overreaction.
All right.
But I like where you're going with it. That's for sure.
Throwing it out there. Rich, congratulations. Michigan takes home the national championship.
It's not genuine.
Big moment for you. And
TJ, is this genuine?
Think about the all-time Michigan teams.
Okay.
Right? I think the Fab Five beats this team in a 7-game series.
No, they don't.
They don't have the best player on the floor.
We need
to
see.
Fab Five has probably the two best players on the floor.
I see you. Now, I know you're saying this to try and divide the house that is as cohesive and together on this day as ever. Okay. And I know you're setting this up to say, hey, no matter what my answer is, you should ask Chris Webber that tomorrow. And I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
I'm not going to do it. As a matter of fact, I'd rather book Jerry McNamara first for this program.
Please let's never have him on the show.
That's untrue. But I don't want to denigrate anybody or anything. I'd love to see it one day. It would be great. But I will ask Chris Webber if this is the best Michigan team ever. And I asked that of Jalen Rose last week, and he's like, cut down the nets, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah.
So, how dare you is my answer to this.
What about
my first blush reaction was no.
I mean, who on this team can handle Rob Pelinka?
Good one.
Great question.
I'll just say Adai Mara should handle Eric Riley. Right. And Trey McKinney might run down Dugan Fife.
Yaxel versus C-Webb, though,
would be epic.
Sick. Yeah, it would be pretty
sick. But C-Webb's a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to say some kid who's now, flashed for 1 year in a Michigan uniform is going to, dominate C-Webb. I mean, that's offensive to a basketball Hall of Famer. So
I just thought it was fun.
Nice try.
All right, let's talk about your other favorite team.
I like where your head's at, though, Chris.
Why do you like it? Because you're a Duke and Georgetown hater? That's it? You're a hater from Duke?
I like time machine matchups.
You know what's an overreaction?
Oh.
Him to being called out as a hater. Because he does have haterade in him. He likes to say he doesn't. He likes to think he's just
happy-go-lucky,
chilled. Everybody loves TJ.
All the celebrities
come in here and they remember him from this trip or that moment in the club or this moment when he was punking them or
the time I sat next to our next guest at a wedding.
Exactly. Emmanuel Shrieky sat next to TJ at a wedding. Like, literally, he is the Forrest Gump of the Rich Eisen
show. I don't like that part.
Well, I know you don't.
Go to El Segundo.
Because the analogy is Forrest would just float around like a feather and meet everyone on planet Earth.
That's not how people
think. And they love him and he loves them. That's an accurate description. I'm not talking about your mental acuity or anything like that. All right?
I'm just saying
to you, you don't like it when I accuse you of being a hater. You're like, I am not a hater. And then you say something that's completely hateful.
I don't say hateful things because I tend to keep them inside. I'm a hater, but I just do a better job of masking it.
He's too nice.
He's too nice.
Because you don't.
Why
want,
do you? Why was
because
that?
Because you don't
why
want two like, of us. Do you want me to like hate as much as my man over here?
I think we've got a great mix. We've
yeah. I've got to play. This
I don't
role.
Want anybody entering the portal.
You know what I mean?
So
I've got to be the calm one.
I understand. I'm not saying you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying you're not admitting the obvious on occasion, which is when you just said under your breath a little TJ aside, I like that one, Brockman. Okay.
Thank you.
I was more complimenting my coworker and my boy on this.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm taking back this segment.
Yeah, you should.
Let's talk about Rich's other favorite team. The Lakers, Rich, they're not going to win a single game without.
See, that's hate. That's hate right there. There's a difference.
Wow.
They're going to get swept. they're not going to win a single playoff game.
No single playoff game.
Yeah.
Not one?
Well, it's not. It's not just not him. It's not him or now, Reeves.
Now Reeves is out.
Yeah, but you forgetting that Hachimura's on the team?
What? God bless you.
Hachimura. I don't think this is an overreaction at all. I feel for Laker fans.
What?
Feeling you. Okay. Feeling you.
Chris, I take Laker everything fans. I said. I do have hate for
thank you. Good. Yeah.
Laker fans.
I do.
The awesome one, Luca. The great one. The one who floats. The one from a country whose name I can't pronounce. Austin Reeves, the great one, the awesome one.
They're toast.
He's got an oblique. By the way, I can't go. Oh yeah, and do we have Magic's tweet? There it is. Just when I thought Luka's injury was devastating for my Lakers, we got the news that Austin Reeves will also be out with an oblique injury. The timing of these injuries couldn't be worse with the NBA playoffs a week away. And there's a sad emoji.
Thanks, Magic.
There's Magic chiming in with a perspective.
You know how many people didn't know the playoffs were a week away, but now they read that tweet and now they know?
The USA Today of
NBA I'm Twitter. What? Why are you? I don't know. Why does USA Today got to catch that?
Well, because they were
my favorite parts of USA Today was always was Larry King's column.
It was just
I saw the wonderful Charo out and about.
It was just one line about everything.
It's all funny games till Bronny drops about 25 a game.
Soup is sure delicious.
I remember first having Phyllis Diller on the show.
I got more rhymes than Phyllis Diller.
You want to take the segment back?
Radio again? Guy in Miami.
This is not an overreaction.
Okay.
It is not.
No, Bronny James is on the squad.
Oh, this guy.
Let's talk about the sport I stopped watching. We're headed for another Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
Why not?
This season is already so boring.
The counter-programming that Fox attempted last night with a rematch of the World Series was not much of a game.
I enjoyed it.
I'm sure you did.
Man.
My wife.
Okay. 14, sounds good to me.
14-2.
I'm all in on it.
Two touchdowns.
I don't know what's going on. That would be next for me. The fact that Michigan's gotten two natties in two different sports in 3 years.
They're hitting them.
It's only a matter of time.
Until?
The Yankees do it themselves.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, they'll update the baseball standings. What do we see?
Oh, win.
What do we have right now? There it is.
Look at week 6 and 4.
2-8. Red Sox come out of the gate having lost 8 of 10. And the Metropolitans without Soto for 2 weeks, which, as you know, is a shame. I feel for him.
That's hate right there. No, we talk about hate.
I said it's a shame.
There's a sign behind home plate at Fenway. It's like kids eat free.
Kids eat free.
And I'm getting so many tweets about all the kids are starving.
Do it for the kids, Red Sox.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.